Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it.
Go to school to find the answers and graduate finding there are none. In our youth, we fight all kinds of battles, but in the end, we've never won. We've never won now. Oh, yeah. That song off of Still Life has been our intro song, and I just love it. It's a perfect beginning for talking about being a Christian and being in the world around us and mixing faith with real life, that's been there for quite some time. And the producer of that song, and as well as the one who remastered that version for digital so that we could use it on our show, and so that you could actually buy Still Life and enjoy it in its original form, is our good friend Dan Collins, who's been with us two or three times, most recently in last July, at the end of July, so it hasn't been too long. I just was moved to see if Dan could be with us tonight, because I've been enjoying listening to a new project that he's just completed, polishing off and redoing a digital mix of the album Inside. And so we're going to be doing this for really the next probably 5 or 6 months. We're going to be coming out with an album at least once a month, in a cleaned up digital version. And we are so grateful to have Dan involved to do this, because he was familiar with the original music to start with, and now 41 years later, Dan, we get to hear it again. So welcome Dan to Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks, John. It's nice to be with you again.
Yeah,
it's been interesting. Like, I mean, when you put numbers to the years that have gone by, it's obviously very frightening. I still think we're back in those days. I mean, because I don't know if people remember, but I probably told you before, I've been transferring all of Ray Steadman's sermons there where we were back when we did this record. And, it's just amazing that that it was that long ago. It's just hard to imagine, but it is.
Yeah. And and isn't it cool that there's still a demand for my music and for Ray Steadman's sermons?
I know. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's still relevant, yeah. And I think that's what people are so surprised about. Maybe the styles have changed a little bit, and certainly how we record is a little different. But the lyrics and what is spoken of and about is still relevant and important.
Well, right off the top here, since you've mentioned Ray, tell our listeners where they can go if they want to familiarize themselves with Ray Steadman.
Okay, well, first of all, if people are not aware of Ray Steadman or who he is, they really need to go to raysteadman.org and listen to his sermons. And once they start listening to the messages that he gave back from the early 60s up until the 90s, they're going to just be changed. I mean, you know, it's been years since I listened to his stuff until a couple of years ago when I started transferring from analog to digital of his sermons. And I'm just thoroughly, mm-hmm. well, some, I feel like I've been at seminary is what it feels like. And it's just amazing. Ray was a scholar. I don't think a lot of people ever realized what a scholar he was. But when you hear his sermons, you realize, wow, this guy had some depth and maturity that you don't hear a lot these days. And that's not bad-mouthing anybody out there, because I think there's a lot of great teachers. But there's a wealth that came from Ray that many don't seem to have.
Yeah. Yeah, he had an amazing combination.
That's where it's at.
Ray7.org. Okay.
Yeah.
And is that where the sermons that you've been working on will show up?
Yes, and I've been working. There's a lot of sermons that I'm transferring, and I just finished Psalms, which is wonderful, but what's already been done are Romans and John, Ephesians. I've done a lot already. It's just a wealth of messages there. So, yeah, that's the place to go. And it's a brand new website, too. So it's really easy to get around. And it's very eye-pleasing as well. And certainly everything's free. You don't have to pay for anything. It's all given free.
That's great. Well, I can't encourage you enough to go familiarize yourself with probably one of the greatest Bible teachers that was ever on the planet. And we had the chance to sit under him and consider ourselves so incredibly privileged, but how great that you can get it all again. And and I think that just speaks to also the wealth of his ministry and the depth of it, that it's still just as relevant today as it was 40 years ago. So, so please, raystedman.org. Marty, whenever Marty is doing any study or teaching anything, she always goes to her buddy Ray. I can't remember what she calls him. She has this very endearing name for him, but she just always goes to she likes to read them, and because she can pull out stuff that she can use for her own teaching, and she loves that. So those were great. Those were great times.
Yeah.
So
great stuff.
You've been working on Inside, and how has that gone? Maybe familiarize our listeners a little bit with what the process is. What are you doing here? Because we don't have access to the original tapes anymore. We've tried and tried, haven't we?
even having access to those original tapes, they are not they're not the kind of thing where you can actually play them back and clean them as well as we can from a vinyl. So we're going
is that
back
true
to
now?
The old vinyl. Yeah.
Wow.
It's only true with some of it, not all of it. It's true with some of it. And it just depends. And most of the tapes have to be baked, and that's an interesting thing. Literally, take them in the oven.
I've heard about that.
You know, putting them at a certain temperature for a certain amount of time, just like you're baking a cake, and they come out and they're like new. But it doesn't always work. So we always fall back on vinyl if we need to. And and vinyl, even though it's full of pops and cracks and hisses and tape noise, vinyl noise, most of that can be repaired now and taken out. And there's some really wonderful software that I use to do all that with, and it's been very beneficial. We've tried all kinds of things over the years. Some things we can't get rid of, some we can. A lot of what we found was degradation issues when it came to trying to get it back to that original sound that we created in the studio on tape. But we're we're pretty close now. Most people wouldn't know the difference, I don't think.
Yeah, boy, it sounds, what I've heard so far sounds really good to me. And yeah, it's so alive. It's alive and clean. I feel like I'm sitting in the studio again. So
yeah,
it sounds great, Dan. Well, what's the process? I mean, how long does it take for you to do a song, say a song, to get it to where you really are comfortable with it?
It really depends. Some songs go faster than others, and it depends on the vinyl. I mean, the vinyl really dictates how long it's going to take. There are some pieces of vinyl that have a lot more cracks and pops and noises that take longer to get out. And then sometimes there's distortion, which happens as a result of the vinyl melting over the years. So that distortion is very difficult to get out. And you can't always get it completely out, but some of it you can take out. So there are variations to the ability to correct and enhance and repair based on what you're using as the medium to get it from. So a lot of this vinyl is very difficult, and then some is pretty clean, amazingly. So it does
Go ahead.
It does take me. There's in the process, what I do is I go through each individual song. I cut them separate from, because I'll take it off the vinyl from an old turntable, put it into the computer, and then as I put it in through a program, I will, you know, there's different programs out there you can use. Then I take that, and then I cut each song individually, and I listen through each song. And then I make the corrections that are necessary for each song. And then after that's completed, then I will master that. I'll master each song, but the mastering will be side by side. So what I do is I'll take all of the songs on the first side and I'll master that. And then I'll take all the songs on the second side and master that. So, but, you know, it's pretty much the same. I'll do the same thing on A and B, so that they're the same. But I kind of separate them out because I want to see what comparisons from side A to side B. Not that we use that anymore, because we do individual songs now, but it allows me to just kind of reference back and forth and to see how much change there is from one to the other. And it's another comparison level that I like to do to see if we're getting the same thing on different tracks. And then I'll go back and make the adjustments accordingly.
So it almost,
now, there's
like, go ahead.
There's different kinds of software repair, and about every 6 months or a year, they come out with some new things that will help enhance and repair different things when it comes to music or dialogue. So a lot of post-production houses that do film and scoring and movies and sound recording all use this kind of stuff. They use it to enhance and match different levels of sounds. And say, for instance, you got a background where there's horses running in the background, and they need to have that fit into another scene where they're moving it from one scene to the next. And the next scene, there's things that are more present and up front. You can make those adjustments actually in the software. You can actually change what you see versus what you hear.
Wow. That's so cool. Have you found that your familiarity with the songs as the original producer, at least on the projects you've done so far, is a help to you? Does that, as far as what you're hearing now and working on and coming up with now?
I think so. I think it allows me to remember what we did and how we did it. And it's funny how I'll actually listen to a song and go, oh yeah, I remember. I almost remember sitting there in the studio when we were recording it. And even though it was quite a long time ago, the music just references those visuals in my mind. I think it's helpful because I remember exactly why we did something. You know, why did we do that?
Uh-huh.
Why did we create that sound there? Why did we split that guitar from left to right? Why did we put the piano
mm-hmm.
leaning more toward the right? Why did we use three guitars here instead of one? That helps. It really helps me visualize it, and then that helps me with how I hear it.
Do you have any pictures of like today? I heard I've been hiding, and I I'm thinking of Phil Kagi, and I think I missed, unfortunately, I missed his session, but I could always, I see your face when you're listening to every time we would mix it, when we were listening to what he did, you were so taken by his work on that.
Well,
there's things like that
and
happen,
you know,
to you. You remember people's faces and things?
Yes, I do. And I remember actually thinking, oh, I'd love to produce something for Phil one day. And then I got to do that. So that was that.
Oh,
and then
great.
I started using him not just on other people's records. I actually got to do one of his records. So that was fun.
That's great. Well, I didn't even know that. That's cool. Well,
yeah, it was called Flipside.
Oh, I remember that. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you do that? Did you do that in L.A. or did you do that in Nashville? Was that before
I did it
or
in
after
L.A.
You
I mean,
sat there?
He was living in Kansas City when we did that record.
Oh, okay.
And
that was
and
still
that,
pretty
and
early
so
on.
It was 1981, I think we did that record, and he came out and spent several weeks in California, and we recorded in four different studios.
Wow, that's great. That's so great.
In fact,
we did
this record, your record Inside. We did in at Capitol, as I remember.
Is that right?
We did some of it there at Capitol Records, but we did a lot of it at United Western. And we did the orchestration at Martin Sound. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely
I
remember
it,
that.
I kind of remember. Yeah.
And we did each album differently, too.
Yeah.
We did each album differently. I mean, I played on some of them, and on other ones I didn't play. It just depended on what kind of sound we wanted to get. And what was important, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of it was based on Clark Gassman and his arrangement,
uh-huh.
We decided to approach it from that angle, and what Clark was doing in terms of how he heard the songs and what kind of things he wanted to put to them.
In going through these songs again, most recently off of Inside, are there any particular songs that stuck out to you in some way?
Righteous Man goes through my head all the time. And
yeah.
So does A New Day for some reason. A New Day does that as well.
Yeah, I noticed that. I listened to that today, and that was actually a lovely song. I forget about some of these. And
there's some really, really strong songs, and I think they're important for people to hear, and what you had to say. It's really fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I remember one story from the song A New Day that there was a some person told me that they were going through a deep depression and they were close to suicide, and the only way they made it was that song every morning.
Oh, wow.
They listened to it every morning. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It's amazing when you hear stories like that.
I'm a little partial to that one because my wife sang harmonies with you on that one.
Did she really? I forgot that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. Gosh. Well, what's next in the hopper?
Well,
do you know which one you're going to work on next?
Yeah, Nastily is next.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be great.
Yeah, so that one will be fun to do as well. I haven't heard that one in many, many years, so I'm looking forward to that. That'll be on the turntable tomorrow, and we'll get that one going.
That's great.
But it's a lot of fun to go back and listen. I'm glad that people are going to be able to hear these again.
You know, Nathalie, it's interesting. I think I've gotten probably more comments from people about or questions about it, or since then, people wanting to hear songs from Nathalie. There was a real connection that people, amazing connection people had with that album. I was really surprised. So I'm going to be happy about getting that out. Hopefully we can maybe get, because of the Christmas songs on there, we might be able to get that out in time for people to enjoy. I don't want to force you, but if that would be very cool.
We had all those fires here, you know, in Thousand Oaks and the shootings, and so it made it really difficult to get very far last week and the week before. We were pretty traumatized by the evacuations and all that stuff going on.
I know.
But fortunately, we're all okay, and not everybody, but many are okay. And the whole town is really working together, you know.
Wow. I couldn't believe that picture you sent me with the black clouds billowing at apparently what looks like the end of your street.
Yes. Yes.
Was it
right
that close?
Of our street. Yeah, the fire was coming right over the hill two blocks from us. And I drove up there just a little bit ago to look at the damage that was done. And it's just 2 minutes from my house, not even that far.
And it's amazing how that DC-10 with the Foscheck retardant came in and dropped load and put that fire out so quickly. And I mean, it's what saved our whole neighborhood. I mean, it was just amazing to watch. And those firefighters and first responders are just wonderful, what they do and how they serve.
Wow.
Yeah, I just feel so much for those people in paradise, what they're going through right now. I just can't imagine.
Just horrible.
Yeah. And how long your life is going to be not normal. it's hard to fathom that.
We had a close friend who they lost their home in Malibu. And they're trying to figure out what are we doing and where are we going and how are we going to do this. And fortunately, many friends have come alongside them and they're, you know, encouraging them and providing them with a lot of things they need. And, you know, it's amazing how during difficult times and troubles, the family of God comes together and really... And not only when I say the family of God, I'm talking the broad family of God. Some of them not believers, and they are people who
who just have a heart of compassion. That comes from God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. And to want to help others is an amazing thing that happens in our society that is such a blessing. It's a God-like principle that carries right through.
That's a great point. It really is. I haven't thought of it quite that way. I appreciate that. It has to come from God. And that's what I pray for. I just pray that people end up finding the Lord, you know, through the difficulty. And in the end, you lose your house, but you gain eternity. You know, I mean, you can't measure that.
No, that's right. That's right.
Yes.
Well, I on Sunday I prayed at our church, and one of the things that I brought up was in John where Jesus said, there are troubles in this world. You will all see troubles, but don't despair. Don't dismay. Don't be afraid, for I have overcome the world. And I know what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about overcoming the world for eternity. He was talking about overcoming the world for the kingdom of God in our present day. And I think it's important that we understand that and grab hold of that. Obviously, eternity is there, and we benefit from eternity as believers. But that other aspect of knowing that God is with us in our daily walk and that he is alongside of us, and because he knows that there is trouble, that he is there to help us not be afraid and to encourage us. And that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. So it's wonderful to grab hold of that and to know that, oh, life is not supposed to be perfect. Where did I ever get that? Jesus said we're going to have troubles. So it didn't come from him. It comes from somewhere else, and it's not the truth. So we know that there is going to be trouble. And he's saying, but yet I'm here. I'm providing a way. I'm showing you how to not be afraid.
Wow. Fantastic. Dan, speaking of eternity, we just got a couple minutes left, but I hope I'm not putting you on the spot here, but you told me an amazing story about your dad who passed away recently. Would you feel comfortable sharing that with our listeners? I mean, I was so blown away by that and so encouraged.
I absolutely would. Yeah, the reason I would is because there was so much joy that came to me and to my brother and sister as a result of it, that I love to share it. When a parent is passing away, it's never a time when you feel great. You know, you're always saddened by the fact that you're losing, you know, your parent, and you're becoming an orphan. And I think what was my sister, who was the caregiver for my dad in the last 3 years of his life, really leaned on my dad for strength and even energy, because he was that full of life. And when he started to get dementia, it was very difficult for her, and he was unable to talk. And even though he was there in a very loving and compassionate way, he couldn't speak very well. He could get a few words out, but never a full sentence. So as I went to Seattle where he was ailing, and the hospice people had said, you know, you don't have much time. You need to get up here because he's going to go. I went up and spent 4 days, and my dad didn't have any food or water for 4 days. After the 4 days, he opened his eyes and looked around, and I was sitting there by the bed with him, and he looked at me, and I saw him present for the first time in 4 days. And he was reaching out with his hand, and I said, Dad, are you seeing something out there? And he said, yes, people. And I said, oh. And I said, did you go someplace? And he looked at me, and he raised his hands and tightened his fists and said, I loved it, and I didn't want to leave. And And I thought, wow. I mean, and I said to him, Dad, you don't have to be here. You certainly can be gone. And I'm thinking, where's my sister? She needs to hear this. This is going to be an encouragement to her. She was outside. And so the next day is when my sister was sitting by the bed and he was reaching out again doing that. She said, Dad, where did you go? Because he'd had his eyes closed for some time and we didn't know if he was, you know, passed out or, I mean, not passed out, but in some kind of a coma or what, because we hadn't talked to him in hours. And he said, he looked at my sister and he said, the ranch. He'd gone to a ranch. And I said to Dad, was Jesus there? And he said, yes. I said, was Mom there? Because she'd passed away 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
yeah.
Yes. And then I asked him about somebody else because I thought maybe he's saying yes. But the next person I asked him about, he said no. And then my sister asked him if there were a lot of people. Are there a bunch of people? And he said yes. So my dad has always wanted to live on a ranch. And he was a pastor his whole life and did have a ranch for a small period of time. But that was his passion, was to be on a ranch, and he loved horses. And so my sister looked over at me and she said, remember Dad always wanted to be on a ranch? And I said, yeah. And she said, Jesus gave him his mansion and it's a ranch. And she looked at my dad and for the first time she was able to say, Dad, go to your ranch and be with Mom and be with Jesus and all of your friends. And it really freed her for her to hear my dad speak of that. So it was a real blessing. And we were all encouraged, and so when we had the memorial service, there was a lot of rejoicing. And I told this story at the memorial service, and it helped a lot of people deal with the fact that, wow, what's going to happen to me? What does happen, and where am I going? And, well, my dad got to see it and tell us about it.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And even, you know, even when we have such faith for such a long time, still the unknown is the unknown. And
yes,
in our humanness, it's definitely scary. So to hear something like this is so encouraging. That's marvelous.
Yeah.
I thank you so much for taking your time today and for that story and for the work you're doing. For getting the music back out, I'm very exciting, and we will just watch this as we go along, and maybe we'll have you again in a few months, and we can look back on it. The one I'm really waiting to hear what happens is the cold cathedral, the very first one I did, you know, I'm hoping that maybe you can come up with something that was better. And I don't mean that because I know a lot of people really liked it, but you know, it's of course, obviously it was 1969 and it was our first ever attempt and Old Town School of Folk Music musicians in Chicago.
Yeah.
It was really, really an interesting blend of talent and expertise and all that. And so I can't wait to see what you can turn that one into.
Well, hopefully,
maybe,
you know, I mean, there's so much that can be done, but, you know, sometimes
right.
very little, but you never know. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be fun to see what we've got.
Yeah. That'll be great. Okay, Dan, I can't thank you enough. We will have you on again soon, okay?
Okay, that sounds fine. Anytime.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Take care, my friend. Good night.
Thank you. You too.
Well, that was cool. What do you think, folks? We're going to have Inside Out and available for you real soon. So keep a lookout for that. And as I said, one at a time will be.
Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Don't forget to catch every day.